Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. In front of the White House today, dozens of students gathered to demand changes to gun laws. They staged a lie-in demonstration after last week's shooting rampage at a Florida high school. They were holding signs that read things such as, NRA, this is blood on your hands, and am I next? On Saturday, Emma Gonzalez, a senior at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, where the shooting took place, addressed a rally in Fort Lauderdale, and she questioned why no one stepped in to try to stop the alleged shooter, Nicholas Cruz.
Those at the gun shows, the people who encouraged him to buy accessories for his guns to make them fully automatic, the people who didn't take them away from him when they knew that he expressed homicidal tendencies. And I am not talking about the FBI. I am talking about the people that he lived with. I'm talking about the neighbors who saw him outside holding guns.
Well, this morning, the family who took in Cruz after his adoptive mother died late last year spoke on Good Morning America. They said they had no idea about Cruz's violent tendencies. Kimberly Sneed offered this to the victim's loved ones.
We're very sorry that, you know, they had this experience and never should have happened. If we had known any of the things that we are hearing, we're learning a lot about all of this just the same as everybody else, you know, and we feel betrayed as well and just shocked.
So what might be done at the local level to try to help young people before they resort to violence? Elizabeth Englander wrote about this for the website The Conversation. She's a psychology professor at Bridgewater State University and director and founder of the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center. She's in our studios right now. Elizabeth, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So your piece in The Conversation has several steps about what parents, students, and schools might do right now without waiting for lawmakers to act. So let's just jump right in. What should schools do first off?
I think that schools can take a couple of steps, but these are going to be steps that they're going to need to take based on pressure from their communities and from other people who whose children attend these schools. They can concentrate more on social and emotional learning, which I think we finally must begin to take seriously. They can make sure that every school in America has trained counselors and trained school resource officers. They can make sure that teachers have the support they need to detect children when they're very young who are socially isolated.
Well, let's talk about some of those, because there may be, you know, not 100% support behind some of those, particularly school resource officers.
Yeah.
It's controversial. And we heard from the kids rallying in Florida this weekend. They said, you know, they say, you know, they're calling out BS, as they call it, right? And they say, don't tell us that one good guy with a gun is going to stop a bad guy with a gun.
And I agree.
And there are many people who are very, concerned about armed police officers in schools. And, of course, we heard all kinds of horror stories about that in the past two years.
Well, I think there's a few important points to this. The first thing is that training of school resource officers is key. Untrained officers, I think, can actually pose a threat in schools. Trained officers are not there to be the good guy with the gun. They are there to connect with students who have no other connections. They represent a different kind of adult on a school setting. And really good school resource officers know the kids. They talk with the kids. They're not a teacher. There's somebody else that the kids can connect with. And they can be very, very valuable.
But we don't have evidence that they've done anything about school shootings, obviously.
Well, most schools don't have school resource officers, let's be clear. And many that have them don't have trained ones. Training of school resource officers is not mandated, and it's not universal, not by a long shot. So it's really important to understand that we have very far to go on that goal. But I wouldn't characterize that as the most important point. I really wouldn't. I just think what's important is to have adults on the school setting who are trained and able to detect children who are potentially trouble.
And the social-emotional component as well. Mm-hmm. That is also controversial. There are some folks who say, you know, how much can be expected of schools here? And how exactly do we do this and with limited resources, really?
I think we have to stop thinking about school as just an academic institution. School is a place where children spend the majority of their waking hours. They are not just involved in education. They're involved in child rearing. And schools have to be equipped to do that. So we need to give them the resources that they need in order to be effective. If we want to have safe schools where children grow up healthy and educated and well, we're going to have to invest in them.
Okay, we're going to just pick one thing. What about parents? And when we hear from, and they weren't parents, but the family that took in Nicholas Cruz just a few months ago when his adoptive mother died, they said they had no idea what was happening here. And of course, as all of us know, having been teenagers, if we want to hide something from our parents, we can be pretty good at it when we want to be, right?
Yeah.
So especially in this world of social media, where you may be able to send out a warning in some ways, and it's not really necessary that your parents will see that, or an adult might see that and take it seriously. So what's the recommendation there?
Well, I think it is important to understand you can't force people to tell you what's on their mind. The way you learn what's on a kid's mind is by having a really strong connection with them. So they know when they're thinking of something, they can go talk to you. But social media also represents a new opening into people's psyches that we haven't had in the past. So, for example, if social media companies had automated kinds of systems where people who posted repeated threats or repeated discussions or text about killing others or glorification of guns and weapons, that could trigger an automatic referral to law enforcement. And I really don't think there's any right on social media to do whatever you like. I think if you threaten people repeatedly, you should be reported to the police. Mm.
But in this particular case, even law enforcement didn't take seriously
what he was
posting.
So. But I don't think it's fair to assume that law enforcement would never take it seriously. Mm. I really don't think that's fair. I think that most law enforcement would try their best.
I'm just talking about the line, right?
Yeah.
The line of when you take something seriously and
Absolutely.
When it's just an attention-seeking thing or when it really does have a propensity to become violent. Do we know enough about that yet, about what might be going on with a young person that something would turn into violence, and it's not just an empty threat
right.
or an attention-seeking threat.
So what we want is we want a society that tells people, if you make threats repeatedly, we're going to take that seriously. And that doesn't necessarily mean that if you make threats, you're going to, you know, we're going to lock you up and throw away the key. But what it may mean is that you're going to get a visit from your local police. They're going to knock on the door and they're going to say, you know something, we got an automated report that you've been posting repeated threats on social media, and we just want to talk to you. What's going on? What did you mean? Now, that's not a perfect system, but there is no way. There's no research, there's no test, there's no blood test. There's no way to know for sure if somebody's going to be violent. All you can do is try to detect people, talk to them about what their intentions are, and, you know, go with what you think is the best information.
Now, we've heard about red flag laws, as they're called. Five states apparently have these measures that would take guns away from people who were deemed by a judge to be a threat. And here in Massachusetts, there are some folks in, on Beacon Hill calling for a measure to be put in place here. Do you think that that would help?
I do think that that would help. My opinion, though, is that we need to be more careful about who we're permitting to purchase firearms. And I think that people who have repeated red flags, it seems to me, are good candidates to at least go through an evaluation process and decide if they do seem able to handle firearms safely.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've heard a lot from a lot about this debate since the tragedy of last week, and a lot of folks are saying it's mental health that we need to legislate and focus on, and it's not just guns, or maybe we can't even make any headway on guns. What if there was to be a bill that would help here in terms of mental health? What would it be?
Well, I think that a bill in terms of mental health might broaden the conditions under which people would be denied firearms. So somebody who had a repeated history, like Nicholas Cruz's history, where you had been expelled from school and you had repeated threats on social media and you had a documented fascination and glorification of guns and violence. These are people who probably should not have firearms, but they should also have more access to mental health care. See, and that's the key, because one of the criticisms I think I have of the government is they do back off and say, well, it's about mental health, but then they don't fund resources or mental health for people. You can't have it both ways. If it's not about gun control and it's about mental health, then you have to work on that. And if you think it's about gun control, then you need to work on that.
You know, we've been talking about this, it seems like a long time now, and it doesn't seem as if we make a lot of movement. But these students powerfully speaking out, do you think that that's going to be the change?
You know, you just can never tell. When I wrote the article, I was sure that this was going to be another Sandy Hook and that nothing was going to happen and nothing was going to change. But by God, these kids, they give you hope, don't they? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I always say to my students when I'm training them is that it's never the kids. It's always the adults. And the fact is that kids really bring energy and optimism. They're determined to make a change. They're very conscious of the fact that they are almost of voting age. And one of the kids interviewed that said, listen, our generation's not going to put up with this. And so I absolutely applaud these kids. They're trying to make their world a better place. And that's an energy and a focus we can all use a little more of, frankly.
Well, Elizabeth Englander, professor of psychology at Bridgewater State University and director and founder of the Massachusetts Aggression Reduction Center. You can find a link to her article at our website, radioboston.org. Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.